Kep, what do you watch a lot of TV entertainment? Do you
not really,
like
but
Mason
I,
and I?
No, not really. But no, but I right now, Winning Time obviously is something that I can't wait for every Sunday night.
Yeah.
But last night, I just started to dig in to the second half of season four of Ozark.
Stopped after season two, but I would get back into it.
Oh my goodness.
I hear it's really good.
I love Jason Bateman. I love Laura Linney. And the who's the blonde that kind of steals every scene?
Julia Garner.
Ruth is her name.
Julia Garner is the one that played Anna in Inventing Anna. Are you into Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul?
Yeah, I watched Breaking Bad, but I never got into Better Call Saul. And it was because like I started watching it and it didn't get me. Just like what you just said about Ozark, how it kind of lost you.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul didn't get me from the beginning.
It's a slow burn.
What everybody tells me is that if you could just get through the first four, five, six, you're going to be back into it like you were with Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's great. And like last night was, this is the last season of Better Call Saul. They've split it into two parts. And last night was episode four, the last season. And it's fantastic. I mean, the performances they're getting out of, is it pronounced Rhea Seehorn?
Rhea Seehorn.
She directed last night's episode too.
Yeah, and she's been on the podcast. She's great. Michael Mando, who plays Nacho, has been on the podcast. Tony Dalton, who plays Lalo, has been on the podcast.
We had the guy that plays Howard on the show. I think you had him on your
podcast. I had him on the podcast. Yeah. I can't think what that guy's name is. They're trying to set him up right now.
Well, you'll see.
Yeah,
you guys should watch Ozark. Ozark is kind of like, you know how in Game of Thrones there was never any worry about killing off a character virtually every single episode?
Right.
That's exactly how Ozark is right now. Every major character
is about to get it.
It could happen at any moment.
That was my favorite part about The Wire, is you never, like, the major character on The Wire just goes.
Yeah.
Like, right in the middle of it.
Right in the middle. Yeah. Bam. Nobody cares.
You guys are talking about characters real quick, and Mace, you mentioned your podcast. Do you guys remember this name from Laker history? Brad Holland.
Of course.
Yeah.
He coached at USD for a lot of years, Kevin.
Right. Now, Brad Holland, the year that Magic Johnson was the first overall pick of the Lakers, Brad Holland was the number 14 overall pick in the same draft to the Lakers.
At UCLA?
Right. In fact, in the final game where the Lakers win the championship in the 80s season, Magic Johnson and Brad Holland combined in that game to score 50 points total.
42 for Magic and 8 for Brad.
You got it right. That's exactly right. Those are the numbers. But I had Brad Holland on my podcast the other day because in episode 9, he's totally retired, living in La Quinta. He had coached for a long time at the University of San Diego. And played, he's a basketball coach there. And then he was up at UCSB where he was an assistant coach for a long time. He's completely retired and he's living in La Quinta. By the way, telling an amazing story about how Magic Johnson is bringing together all of his championship teammates down in Hawaii. I want to say, July.
Yeah. Cap, this was originally scheduled to happen 2 years ago because Michael was going and Stu Lance was going and all the guys that travel with me were going. And it got kneecapped by the pandemic.
Right. So he's bringing it back.
By the way, there is a lot of, as we've all talked about in these crosstalks, there's a lot of creative theatrical license in Winning Time.
Sure. Yep.
One thing that actually did happen, I don't know if you talked to Brad about it, Cap, was that it was a fight between Brad Holland and Spencer Haywood that finally got Haywood kicked off the team.
Correct. And so he tells the story because, in Winning Time, the way it's portrayed is Spencer Haywood is like looking through his stuff, looking for his drugs. And here comes this fresh-faced kid out of UCLA, Brad Holland, who walks up to him. This is in the show. Hey, man, I got your tape and your scissors. I took them out of your bag. And Spencer goes crazy on him, right?
Right. What are you doing taking my bag? Yeah.
Right. Brad said that's not how the story went. What happened was they got done with the game, and Spencer said to him, hey, man, let me have your scissors. And Brad, they had lost the game. And Brad said, please? And Spencer was like, man, if I have to say please to you, blah, 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 before you know it, they all get into a scuffle and Kareem and Magic have to come and break everybody up. And it was pretty much after that that the Lakers said, we can't have you around the team anymore. So it wasn't that there was a team vote. It's just that the Lakers made a decision. Spencer can't be around the team any longer.
So the vote was for dramatic purposes.
Exactly.
Well, there's been and what I've been saying, Cap, for the past couple of days is that if you are a Laker fan or a fan of that era and you enjoy Winning Time, and all of us do, if you want to be entertained, watch Winning Time. if you want to hear from the real people and what it was actually like, if accuracy is important, watch They Call Me Magic on Apple Plus.
Yeah, I'm only one episode in.
Which
I'm only
is
one
four
in.
Episodes. You'll hear from directly from Pat Riley, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jerry West, Jeannie Buss, Magic, Michael Cooper. Everybody's in that thing.
Well,
and so you can get kind of the best of both worlds.
But you
the,
see, that's why Jerry's so pissed, though.
The spirit of Winning Time is actually pretty true to the story.
Yeah.
But it's like there's a lot of creative license.
Right. And that's what's got, and we've talked about this plenty, about why Jerry's so upset, Jerry West is so upset at these guys. But I was talking to Brad about it. I'm like, well, they depicted your character in a way that you probably don't really like. And he's like, yeah, now, of course, my character in the show is a little tiny part. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a big role at all. He's like, but yeah, I wasn't depicted the way things really went down, but I'm watching it like a docuseries and it's fun and I'm enjoying it. And so that was Brad's perspective on it. Whereas Jerry, I mean, look, it's obviously a much bigger role and they've taken a lot of creative liberty as we've talked about, but Jerry's upset because a guy like me doesn't really, really, really know the history. And I'm not even that interested in doing the research to learn about the history. I'm just happy watching what I'm watching. Yeah, and that's what's got Jerry West so upset.
Well, I mean, Momo's working on this show now, the Donald Sterling show.
Right.
You know, I'm sure Donald Sterling is going to get crushed in this thing. And Vistaviano is going to get crushed in this thing. And I mean, that's just part of being in a character in a docuseries like this.
We have George Sedano now. Hi, George.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Hello, Georgie.
So I was listening to a Bill Simmons, Chris Ryan podcast from The Ringer on Spotify the other day, and Bill had an interesting theory. He thinks part of why they take a lot of dramatic leaps is to keep people talking about it. He thinks the Jerry West thing has played right into their hands, that they want people talking about Winning Time. And they say, well, he thinks that when they're making the show, they'll say, somebody will say to Adam McKay, you know, well, Adam, the Lakers won that game. He goes, well, let's have them lose it. That'll stir people up.
Right.
You know, and so they're doing a little of that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's smart.
Jerry West has given up his job as publicist for Winning Time. At least I haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah. I think.
But I mean, it's best to steer clear.
He's done a good job, don't you think, Mace? as far as a publicist goes, he's pretty damn good.
To the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So, what are you bagging on it?
By the way, Call Me Magic.
You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, KRDC Pasadena, Los Angeles, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Have you seen it, George?
I've seen most of it. Okay. Call Me Magic is cool if you're like a diehard dorky basketball fan like me, but I don't think it's actually all that interesting, though.
I learned some stuff I didn't know. And I think part of why I like watching it is I know a lot of the people that are in it.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of fun to see them be a.
I mean, that's a huge.
You're right.
That's an infomercial, though.
What I've been saying, though.
What do you mean that's an infomercial?
I mean, it's just an infomercial for Magic being awesome. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is.
Although he doesn't come across great to Cookie. Like, can keep pulling the rug out.
In the Magic documentary, he doesn't come out good with Cookie?
He pulls the rug out from under her three times.
Mm, yeah.
And he comes off as being a little bit. And he talks a lot about when he got the contract, the $25 million for 25 years from Dr. Buss, how his teammates all hated him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because then they just considered me part of management.
Right.
And but, you know, the one thing they didn't cover, Sedano, in that, which Westhead is in it. Paul Westhead is in They Call Me Magic.
Yeah.
And Magic got him fired.
Right.
And they don't even cover it.
Right.
I thought that was weird. I mean,
that's an infomercial.
My guess is in Winning Time, they will cover it a lot.
Right. Well, this is okay. So this is a thing that we've had going on. You always say there's no such thing as when people say that's my truth.
Yeah. I hate that phrase because I think there is the truth. And then there's a bunch of people's versions of it. But
I got a
correct.
Lot of my own
whose version's right? Adam McKay's version? Magic Johnson is doing the story himself. This is Magic's version of the truth.
Right.
And when the Lakers documentary comes out, that'll be their version of the truth. And when Jeannie and Linda have their series with Mindy Kaling, that'll be their version of the truth. There are many versions of the truth. There's my truth, your truth, and the actual.
I don't think any of them are the truth.
My truth, your truth, and the actual truth.
Yeah.
Probably none of them are the truth. Hey, George, were you listening earlier today when Mason and Ireland here were having a discussion about things that happened in a men's room? Did you happen to catch any of that?
I did.
Classy
I'm
talk.
Bergman. You know, I mean, I don't necessarily, I'm not like a huge farter in the bathroom.
Really?
But, I mean, occasionally.
No, but what about Sedano? Let's get to the part.
But I'm with Bergman. Like, it's the bathroom. Like, okay. What do you got to do?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And you guys say anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
I take, when I'm at home, I will sometimes take my laptop to the toilet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. No, Mason's crazy.
I have never done that in a public room, like even here on the, right. on the, you know, on the, where we work.
Do you look at your phone on the cam?
I do.
Okay.
So, do you look at your phone on the cam?
I think taking your laptop to a public restroom is a bridge too far. Cap, what do you think?
No, actually, Mace, I want you to know something, that I heard what you were saying. You were calling for help.
Yes.
You know, you were sending out an SOS, and I'm here for you, man, just so you know.
Nice!
I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of all this judgment, okay?
Yeah, I know.
So, Mace.
Simpatico.
If a person takes their phone into the bathroom and sits on a public toilet and takes a few minutes and has a little personal vacation and uses their phone, there's no different than their laptop.
Right.
Cap, hold on. When you get up from the toilet,
yeah,
what do you do with the laptop?
Well, therein lies an issue that I heard May say, where he puts the laptop across where he was just sitting, because according to CNN, it's the cleanest place in the bathroom.
The cleanest place in the bathroom.
His laptop, if it hasn't already, is destined for the toilet bowl.
So here's, let me just.
Let me lay something out.
So I'm not a big phone user. You don't see me on my phone very much. When they tell me how much screen time I have, it's very, very low.
I use my laptop constantly. Got it.
So the laptop is the equivalent of my phone. You looking at your phone on the can is the same thing as me looking at my laptop on the can.
No, it's just because it's so much larger, Mace. Like, that's not the same thing.
Right.
Especially because
you put it on the ground. I don't put my phone on the ground.
I don't put my laptop on the ground.
Where do you
put it? Put it on the toilet seat, George.
Across the seat.
That's even worse.
No, the seat. CNN says cleanest spot CNN. In the bathroom is the toilet seat.
Fake news. Must be the truth.
Must be the truth. But Mace, here's the thing.
Mason is wrong.
Oh, thank you, Les.
I think when I heard you talking about this, my initial thought, though, was if you're taking your laptop to the toilet, now that you've explained that it's your replacement for your phone, at the time I was thinking, wow, you're really getting ready to get comfortable. I mean, if you have your laptop in a public bathroom, you're there to
taking
chill.
A good seat. Exactly.
Right. You're not in there to hurry up. Let's
Netflix
do business.
And chill in the bathroom.
It's a little break for the day.
Yeah, this is I'm going to get comfortable here, and I'm home for the next 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know, 15, 20 minutes.
How long?
Good, 5 to 10.
Oh. I've done 15.
You've done 15. I mean, everybody can do more.
Yeah,
probably not smart to do more, but
I've done.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yes, Lindsay.
Hi guys. In what public restroom is it acceptable to bring your laptop into?
The one right up the hall. In Mason's case, any of them.
Well, the one right up the hall is the one I use every day.
That's really weird. Okay. I feel like if I saw you walking in there with your laptop, I'd be like, "What are you doing?"
You will see me.
Okay, honest answer to this question.
Yep.
Promise you'll answer it honestly.
100%.
You're at Dodger Stadium.
Yep.
You're watching a game from the press box.
Yep.
You got your laptop.
Right.
You got to go.
No.
You take your laptop to the Dodger Stadium bathroom.
No, because I'm around other people.
You're around other people here.
You know they're going to judge you.
Barely around people.
So you're just going to let your laptop sit there by itself.
Well,
and they can just walk by and grab.
You know how a press box is.
Well, there's the auxiliary press box, too.
Now, wait. Okay.
Let's see.
I don't go to games as press box. Like, tomorrow we're going as fans.
Like, now I have a follow-up. Hold on. When you get done in said restroom, I'm going to just make an assumption, Mace, that you wash your hands, right?
Of course.
Where do you put your computer when you're washing your
hands?
In
my bag.
Okay, now.
So you take your whole bag to the bathroom.
Yeah, I hang my bag on the
That
the
makes sense.
Thing
okay.
in the
that seems reasonable to me. I can understand that. Do you have any, like, Clorox wet paper towel-y things with you?
I ain't afraid of no germs.
No, but don't you think you want to clean
man
your laptop?
Eats in his bed.
I've never cleaned my laptop.
So you mean to tell
me.
Like ever? Like not even wipe the screen?
I wipe it like every day.
Yeah, pretty much like never.
Yeah. So you take it from the bathroom and clean it off a little bit before you bring it back into
this
the studio.
This laptop is my best friend. It's with me all the time.
It is disgusting.
It is with me all the time.
I understand. I understand it's your best friend. My phone is my best friend.
What is it, gang up on me?
No, no gang.
I'm
with you, Mace. Mace, you and me, we can take them all, Mace.
I'm going to question your statement that your laptop is your best friend.
Okay.
All right? House is on fire. You can either grab your dog or your laptop.
Oh, well, I mean dog.
Thanks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So your laptop is your second best friend.
Second.
Or
one's
your
a sentient
third.
Being.
Third best friend. I have two dogs. Yeah. No, I mean, for it's the first thing I bring out, right? I bring out the beings in the house. Juan, Sophie, and Fredo. But the laptop comes next.
You know what I bring out if I can only grab one thing in my house, George?
What's that?
Massage chair.
There you go. How big is it? Thing out.
What's about it's gigantic, Cap.
I know. How are you going to get it out?
Dolly.
You should have it by a door at all times.
Yeah,
exactly.
You should keep it by a door. Hey, Cap, do you have an angle on getting one of them massage chairs? Because Ireland won't help me. He got his for free, and I want a massage chair, and Juan won't buy one for me.
Well, I got the guy who gave me that chair is now out of business, probably because he gave away too many chairs.
Do you have an angle for that, Cap?
You know what? I got a buddy of mine.
I have a guy.
I got a guy.
He always has a buddy. Yeah. Okay? He's got a guy for everything.
And this guy, I was over at his house not long ago. As a matter of fact, it was the night of the national championship game of college basketball.
Okay.
And I saw this chair, and I go, oh, my God, that thing looks amazing. He goes, get in it. I sit down in this thing, and it gets you the whole way. I mean, dude, bottom of your feet, side of your feet, Achilles, calves,
lower back, upper
hamstring,
back,
neck, the whole deal, right? The whole deal.
Mishpuka.
Right, and he tells me the story. He says, listen, he goes, I bought this thing at a PGA event. It retailed for like $9,000, but I bought it right there on the spot for $5,000, and it sounded like, oh, my God, $5,000
for that
chair.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, right?
I'd have to put that on layaway.
But Cap, you can't get them for five now. They're more
than that. No, but that's what he was saying. He's like, that, like a used car, is an appreciating asset now. So, Mace, just the same way you were trying to negotiate a few weeks ago.
For a treadmill, or for the elliptical.
The elliptical from Mrs. Ireland.
Yep.
Now, if you want to negotiate one of these chairs, buying a used one now costs more than what it used to cost.
Yeah, they're tough to get, but
Cappy, you said you had a guy.
I got a guy.
I know.
Can I get a hookup?
You can get Mace. My network is your network. Do you understand?
Yeah, Cappy's got a big network.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's got a guy for everything. Hey, okay, Cappy, I'm going to actually follow up with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I the only one of the four of us who watched any hockey yesterday?
Yes.
So are you guys going to watch any?
Now that I know, I'll probably watch tomorrow night.
We'll be at
the Dodger game tomorrow night. Yeah, no, so
man,
I won't see it tomorrow
night.
Once
you start watching, it is friggin' addicting. But I think the Kings, I don't know if the Kings are going to survive the first round. But did you watch, Laura?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Great.
I thought it was a killer. Yeah.
Is anybody watching any hockey tonight?
No. The Kings aren't playing.
Sedano, what NBA games do we have tonight?
Milwaukee, Boston, and Golden State, Memphis.
Okay.
Golden State, Memphis was a very good game.
Well, and if you're Boston, neither Boston or Memphis can lose tonight.
Right. Right. They both gave up serve.
And no Marcus Smart for Boston.
Right.
He's out.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee. I originally thought Phoenix was going to win it all. I now think Milwaukee's going to repeat.
You don't think Golden State?
No. I think Milwaukee's
going to repeat.
Wait,
I think you said Phoenix yesterday.
Phoenix was my original pick. From the beginning of the year, I said Phoenix, Milwaukee. And Phoenix winning. Now I think it's Phoenix, Milwaukee, and Milwaukee winning.
Hey, Sedano, best rom-com of all time, what pops into your head?
When Harry Met Sally's probably up there?
That was mine, too.
Like a classic, yeah.
Yeah, that was mine,
too. There's a big debate. Is Bridesmaids a rom-com?
No.
It is.
No. It has,
she winds
it has
up with a, Chris O'Dowd Laura, at the end.
Laura, it has rom-com like sensibilities, but it's not like a rom-com.
They wind up together at the end. Her and the cop. Not, they leave in a police car together.
Okay, is what's the Hangover? Is that?
Yeah, is that a rom-com?
Well, no, because who do they wind up with?
He makes it
back
to the wedding.
Yeah,
and they get married.
They get married at the end.
The story's not about.
And then the stripper and him get together.
Right.
Oh, and you said you never get together with your stripper.
Right. So, yeah, I guess it is a rom-com.
Mm-hmm. See?
I don't know.
He said prostitute, but yes.
I mean, that was nicer, you know.
Stands to reason.
Pretty Woman, totally unrealistic movie, right?
No, no. Yes.
Pretty Woman. Completely unrealistic.
Oh, yeah. That would never,
I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Never.
Some rich guy is not going to hire a prostitute, then run away with her.
It's
just not going to happen.
John,
you want to out somebody?
Now,
no, no, no. I'm going to tell you a story after this segment is completely
true. Why can't
true.
You tell it to us now?
Yeah, do it. Now, do it.
Tell the class.
Do it.
Okay. Can you tell us without incriminating anyone?
Yes. Okay. So,
I was going to say, I'm with John. I believe John. I think that that's a thing. People, they call them sex workers now, Mace, to get PC.
I know. Okay,
you know.
Sex workers.
Right, politically correct.
But
thank you.
I feel like, you know, these people, they pay for their company, et cetera, and they end up really liking them. I think that happens.
All right. So this is a true story. Okay.
Yeah,
I will not use names.
Ready.
So there was a sports franchise in Los Angeles that, shall I say, crumbled to the ground in the late 80s.
Okay.
Like everything crumbled.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this guy was one of the top executives. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I'm out of a job. And he just got in his car, started driving east. He stopped in Vegas and pulled into a strip joint.
Mm-hmm.
And befriended a stripper.
Okay.
She said, what are you doing? He told her his story, said, I was just working for this team. I'm now just driving. And she goes, well, I've been looking to get out of Vegas for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And my family lives in the Midwest.
Right.
But if you'll drive me that way, I'll go with you for a while. So he goes, let's do it. So they go with it.
Got a screw loose, but
okay,
go ahead.
Get right. They hit it off on the car ride.
Yep.
When they get to the Midwest town, she says, oh, by the way, my dad owns a pro sports team.
What?
You should meet him. The dad was so happy that the girl was no longer
a sex worker.
Correct. That they embraced this guy, gave him a job with the team that the father owned. They got married. They're not married anymore. They were married for 20 years, but he rose to president of this team.
Wow. Who is this?
I will tell you off the air.
Wow. Now,
can I say it on the air?
No.
No.
Don't say it on the air.
Can we figure it out via Google?
Well,
you probably could.
You probably can find out, but I think we're protecting the anonymity of the guy that ran away with the sex worker.
And by the way, we're
nice
protecting
story.
Everybody. And the owner, the dad in this story, is somewhat famous.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It sounds like a good rom-com to me.
It does sound like a rom-com.
All right. Oh, by the way, Sonato, I'm going to text you who it is, and you'll laugh.
Okay, great.
All right.
No, excellent. No, no. You're not going to text me?
Yeah, no, because you're a big mouth.
Include Cappy.
Yeah, I can't not know. I have to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, no. Actually, text me, and then I'll reveal it to him when I want to.
Hey, text it to me, and I'll read it in the cam.
On your laptop.
Exactly.
Yeah. Email it to him.
We're back tomorrow at 1. Sonato and Cap, a lot of dumb stuff today?
Always the dumb stuff.
Awesome. That's what I listen for. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, no pump. Do da da ding. Bing ba da boom. Ba da dig dig ba da da da. Ba da ba ba da boom. Da da boom. Bing ba da bing.
How'd your maintenance day go?
Oh, George, I'm looking good. I'm feeling good. I'm walking tall. I am like officer material right now. Seriously. Nice. Seriously, if I were in, like, the Marine Corps, if I were, like, man enough to be in the Marine Corps,
yeah,
I'd be walking out from that barber looking fresh, feeling dope AF, and ready to rock and roll tonight for the start of the Pearl Jam tour, which is going to start tonight in San Diego and then be up at the Forum in L.A. for a couple of nights later this week. I'm going to the start of it, and you got to look the part, George. I'm looking it. I'm feeling it. Maintenance day, baby.
Looking it, feeling it.
Yes, sir.
Just since
correct.
I wasn't here, like, what all exactly does the maintenance day entail? Quick rundown.
Yeah, there's a cut of the hair. There's the coloring of the hair. There's the waxing of the nostrils and the waxing of the ears. And all of those things get done all within about an hour's time. Because, Lindsay, let me tell you something. It's not easy to be a guy in 2022 when you're expected to be this kind of hot. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. It's tough.
How do you think as women feel?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. I mean, let's kind of bro down over this. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I mean, it's like, it's very high maintenance just to, like, for lack of a better word, maintain as a woman. Just to be normal, not even glammed up or getting ready for a special event. Just to, like, exist, I feel like, in 2022. It's a lot of work.
How you feel, George? You feel like there's a lot of work to make you look as hot as you are on TV?
Minimal.
Minimal work? What about the Botox to the forehead that you've been taking?
Little powder, man. That's it.
Powder, no Botox.
He gets paid the big
bucks. No Botox? Are you out of your mind?
I mean, dude, there's not a crinkle in that forehead of yours.
I drink a lot of water, man. I don't drink soda. I don't drink much caffeine. Mm-hmm. In general, I mean.
So your forehead is the beneficiary of hydration. It's not Botox.
Yeah. It is. Oh, all the makeup ladies in all the years that I've been doing this are always like, oh, my God, your skin is so great.
Wow. Wow. Everybody thinks it's Botox. I guess not.
Well, I think it's also, isn't it a Latino thing?
Hold on. Like, who is everybody?
Yeah, I was
Botox
like, I don't think
oh,
that.
My God. There's like millions of people in the Sedano and Cap community that reach out to me all the time. They're like, what? Is George taking Botox to the forehead? He's got such beautiful skin. I'm like, I don't know. How do I know?
You started that rumor somewhere.
I'm talking about, Chris felt the skin up close.
I remember he did touch it.
Yeah. And there was no makeup that day.
Nice little shine on you, too.
What moisturizer do you use, Sedano?
I don't use any moisturizer.
No moisturizer to the face, none.
That's crazy because my doctor always told me, screw all of these under eye wrinkle creams and like these miracle creams. All you got to do is use moisturizer.
The only time I put moisturizer on is if I get too much sun. Like if I get like I got a little red in the face a couple hours later, I do that so I don't peel or anything like that. But that's it.
I use
water. Like sunscreen, like more.
I do use sunscreen if it's really, really like like one of those scorcher days. Yeah, but I'm not out. I'm out like usually in hiking takes me about 90 minutes, and it's usually in the morning, so there's not a lot of like UV stuff going on at that time.
Oh, there is. You know, they're just leaving the house for like your morning, like walking your dog. You should never leave the house without sunscreen.
You hear that? Listen to your mom.
I also have olive skin, so that helps too. I feel like a little bit.
Sure, but for wrinkle purposes, you'll thank me later on.
You should try a little oil of Olay. I get it at Costco. It's lovely.
I'm 44
it's wonderful.
And it's worked out okay for me. You know
telling you right now, oil of Olay has a great like facial lotiony kind of stuff with a little 15 SPF in it. Yeah. Use it every day. Every day.
People want to know what the outfit's going to be for tonight.
My outfit for tonight for the Pearl Jam?
Yeah.
I'm going to take it down a notch. I think you want to try and be as casual as possible. I mean, I think, don't you? I mean, I'm not, like, dressing like I'm getting ready to go to the Mandy's or anything.
Right.
I mean, that's a different deal. That I'm already working on.
Yeah. You should go like D-Wade went, like, with the Met Gala yesterday with Gabrielle Union. You see what he wore?
I didn't. Tell me.
I mean, just Google it.
Oh, all right. Well, I liked what Russell Westbrook was wearing to the Met yesterday.
No,
and
but
I would wear that.
Mason already said he's going to wear that.
Oh, he is? He likes the skirt or he likes the top hat?
The kilt. Yeah.
They had a good Odell Beckham Jr. had a good outfit. It was
I didn't like Odell's outfit. It looked like a little too like terry
Star
cloth
Wars.
Greeny to me.
Yeah. It was like very Star Wars except green, right? Yeah.
Well, if you're looking to make a splash, you got to wear something like that, Cap.
Splash.
No, I don't think that's a splash at all. I don't think
it's
not enough.
You just to get people talking. I remember you saying you wanted to wear the Dumb and Dumber tuxedos, like the blue and the
yeah,
orange.
But I've given up on that. That's more of a Travis Sliwa thing.
Okay.
It's not for me. Is this what you're talking about last night, George? The white on white with no shirt underneath?
Yeah, no shirt. I think you should do that.
Dude, that is money. That is an incredible look by Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, with a cane. You should have a cane, too.
The cane is also good. I like the cane. Wow, no shirt, jacket unbuttoned, six-pack exposed, white pants, no belt, nice gold chain.
Roll with it.
Dwayne Wade looks money. But that's not a Pearl Jam kind of,
Oh, no, I'm talking about for the Mandy's.
Oh, the Mandy's, I could rock that, no problem.
No, not Pearl Jam. No, Pearl Jam, you should wear a flannel or something.
Yeah, I'm thinking about trying to find something skatery, you know? Something that makes me look like I'm 12.
Something from your ska phase.
Yeah, right. I have one piece left, and I actually saw it today in my closet, and I went, that's probably a good thing to wear tonight, but you know what it's going to do? I'm going to be that guy. You know how you don't like to be called that guy? I'm going to be that guy. They're going to be like, see that guy right there? He's that 50-year-old guy thinking he's trying to be 16 again
He's the guy.
Yep, he's that guy.
Do you have a wallet with a chain?
I do not. I do not.
Oh,
no.
That would be hilarious.
That would be also dope.
Yeah.
Ben,
that would
some
be amazing.
Jinkos.
No, it wouldn't be, actually.
Yeah. Can I lodge a complaint before we get started on today's show?
Sure, go right ahead.
I'm going to lodge a complaint to everybody, and it's about the new ESPN LA app.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm going to complain about it. There's a lot of people right now getting real tight. Like, what's he going to say? He's going to lodge a complaint about the new ESPN LA app. That's right, I am. That's
right. Let me guess. You're going to say that our tile should be up higher.
Nope, that's not it. That is not my issue.
I figured you were petty enough to do that.
Nope, not my issue, George. That is not it.
Okay.
Lindsay, Laura, any idea about what kind of complaint I'm going to lodge right now about the new ESPN LA app that everybody's talking about, that everybody's downloading?
No.
Okay, well.
I love it.
Okay, well, let me tell you my complaint. My complaint is I'm now officially addicted to the ESPN LA app.
Oh, look at that. Look what you did there. A little spinorama.
Yep. Addicted to it. I'm in my car this afternoon. I'm listening to Mason in Ireland. And under normal circumstances, I'd get out of my car. I turn it off. I go in. I move on to other things. And I may not come back to the radio show. You know why? Because I don't have a radio in the house.
Right.
Okay. But now, here's me. Yeah. I get out of my car 2:45 in the afternoon.
Right.
Before I even leave the car, I've already got the ESPN LA app on my phone and playing one tap.
Yeah.
I'll have you know.
Yeah. Not even a tap. You just literally like just, I mean, you just, yeah. Well, I guess one tap because you got to open it. Yeah.
You launch it. By the way, it ain't easy to turn off because we don't want you to turn it off. I am addicted to the ESPN LA app. It's a problem.
You've basically got a mobile ISDN with the ESPN app now.
It's like,
you know
people,
what we need to do?
Here's
the next thing that needs to be developed on the mobile ESPN app. A message, like a way for the people in the audience to message us directly from the app.
No doubt about it.
Like, we're basically like, we have like a thing we log into on our end where we see all the messages coming through. But that person needs to create like a username, just like they would on any social media. But it's just for our app.
George?
Yeah.
I'm a step ahead of you, pal.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm having this meeting manana, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. You want cited on the app.
I want a communication tool on the app.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Very good. Good. You see, there's a lot there, George. You got good ideas. Share them.
Let us know. Yeah.
I mean, I'm an idea guy just like you. I don't execute on anything, but I have good ideas.
Right.
So now that you've shared the idea, now somebody, hey, did you guys hear what George said?
Get on it.
You hear what my man George said?
Let's go.
Do what he said.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Let's go.
All right, let's make it. Let's do a beautiful thing here.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, I'm addicted to the app. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Why is Chris upset with you?
Chris is upset with me.
He just said you bleep, Cap.
Just now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Oh, probably because as I said, there were going to be a lot of people that were going to be super uptight when I said that I'm going to lodge a complaint about the app.
Right, but it wasn't a complaint.
No, not at all. It was a setup.
Right.
Well, I mean, maybe he'll be talking about the fact that, like, we do have, like, the contest thing on the app where you can, I think.
Yeah,
can
I just think that we should add a messaging thing where that we can get people's messages from there, too. That means they're spending more time on the app, which is a good thing.
Oh, maybe they are going to have a messaging.
Maybe.
Feature.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just
it
know
would be
this.
A good idea.
All I know is this app is with me all day, every day, because I got my phone with me all day, every day. And I guess really what I'm saying is, I'm not just addicted to the app. If I'm being really honest about it, I mean, if I'm going to really look in the mirror, I think I'm addicted to the whole radio station.
Oh, boy.
That makes sense.
Yeah. What can I tell you, George? We're at our best, man. These are the golden days, the golden ages, if you will, of 710 ESPN.
I mean, more like the copper, but okay, we'll get to gold eventually.
Kind of copper? Kind of a coppery, rusty
copper-ish,
sort of a thing?
Yeah. Like, what's that thing that Brett Favre does? What's that thing called, that copper thing he does? Like,
is
the rap?
The,
him and
is that
Jerry
the one
Rice?
The one for his elbow?
Yeah, that thing. What's that thing called?
I don't
know. Copper Fit.
Copper Fit. Wow.
We're like Copper Fit. Yeah.
Right. We're not. It's
not
the golden age
yet,
right.
But Copper
it's
Fit.
It's the Copper Fit era of 710 ESPN.
Yeah, that's it. We're a little too old. You know, we need a little help. We need, you know, we need whenever we need to do to just make sure we're in the game.
But like Brett Favre and Jerry Rice, if we have to, we can still get out there and ball.
Right. But we need a little help.
Little
Copper
Fit
era.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like
as a matter of fact, Copper Fit should now sponsor the Mandy's just based off this conversation.
Not only that, but after the conversation we had the other day about the Big Hurt and Doug Flutie. And
yeah,
that,
Nugenics.
Yeah,
they Nugenics. Should be there too, pumping people with testosterone.
Of course. It should be part of like the goodie bag in the back. Yeah. You know, backstage goodie bag is in Nugenics.
Yeah.
In fact, Frank Thomas should be there handing it out.
Yeah. Speaking of old, the Lakers get into their bag and something old came out. We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Great video. Great music video. I feel like this is all up in your grill, Cap.
It is, in a big way. You know the video on this song?
I just said great video like three times to start the conversation.
No.
I mean, did you not hear me say that literally 10 seconds ago?
No, I wasn't paying attention yet. I wasn't back yet.
Okay.
I was backstage doing my makeup for the show tonight.
By the way, you kept – right, there was one day where I was literally
– right, here like, it is. I have the scoreboard right here.
Yeah.
It's now 1-1. Where
no, it's not.
Yes,
no,
it is.
No way.
It is. Well, I have the score. I literally have the scoreboard. It's. I swear to God,
right.
In my notes, it
Mind
says –
Mind you, by it, the way, that yeah. day, mm-hmm. it was – remember I kept telling you, man, I feel terrible. Like, I don't know what's happening. Yeah. I feel like really like foggy and cloudy.
Yeah.
And, of course, I tested positive for COVID the next morning.
Well, hey, I hope I don't have it now all of a sudden. I literally have on a piece of paper, it's like a cross thing, and it's on one side it says JS, and on the other side it says SK, and then down below. What's that, Laura?
We have a
guest here? Oh.
Oh, at this time? I thought it was 5 o'clock we were talking to Juliana Pena. But okay, we can talk to Juliana Pena right now.
That's fine by me.
She's there.
That's yeah. fine by me.
Absolutely. Juliana, thank you so much. Our apologies. We were told that you'd be joining us at 5 Pacific, but thank you for joining us. And, you know, a belated congratulations to you on your big win a few months ago.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's 7:30 in New York. You're late.
Oh, okay. Yeah, listen, I'm not messing with you. You can kick our ass. So, whatever you say.
I mean,
I'm totally kidding. I literally called in when my publicist told me to. So, I'm sorry if you weren't expecting
right.
me at this hour. I can call back.
No.
We got you here.
We got you. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. It's hilarious. So I do, I do a show regularly with Chael Sonnen on ESPN Plus, and before your fight, obviously we previewed that fight with you and Amanda, and it was I feel like he was the only like of all the big name UFC commentators, analysts, or whatnot that was consistently on your side. Were you aware of that? Like what people were saying about you going into that fight?
Yes, I absolutely was. You know, one thing I don't pay attention to that much is the odds, but one thing I do pay attention to is, you know, the broadcasters and what they're saying and how they're feeling.
Well, the odds in that fight, again, this is going back to, you know, early December of 21. I mean, I think you were like minus 1,000. In other words, you were a monster underdog that nobody was giving any chance to. What were you thinking going into that fight?
I was thinking I can't wait for everybody to lose all their money and how much I was going to laugh when I win.
Oh, man.
It really was.
And, you know, you were talking the talk and you walked the walk. And I feel like your story is just inspirational on a lot of levels, right? Because this was, in essence, to Scott's point about the odds and whatnot, it felt like, you know, one of the biggest upsets maybe in UFC history. Is that fair to say that you were part of that and now you're going to go out there to prove that it wasn't that you are that good?
No, I definitely think that it was one of the biggest, if not the biggest upset in UFC history. And that's exactly why I'm doing it, because people think that it was a fluke. They think that the sun was shining too bright that day, or that, you know, Amanda wasn't the healthiest, whatever the excuses were. I'm here to say, no, I did exactly what I said I was going to do, and none of you guys believed me, and you don't believe me again, so we're just going to have to run it back. And then finally, when I do it again, maybe then you guys will get on my side and join me as the new UFC world champion.
No, Juliana, I am on your side. Chael sold me before that fight, and I was like, okay, if you say this to me, because, you know, look, Chael's amazing, clearly had an amazing career, and he's a great analyst. And I'm like, if you're in on this, I'm in on this. And I went into it thinking, okay, and at that fight, like, you controlled the fight completely. Like, it was as spot on a prediction as he's ever had. And trust me, I give him a lot of grief when he's wrong. But, like, it was, you could not have executed your game plan any better, right, in that particular fight.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I appreciate from Chael. You know, we're from the Pacific Northwest, and we're loyal to the soil up there, especially to our wrestler, grappler types. And so Chael knew what was up. He knew what time it was, and he was the only one gunning for me. And I just want to say thank you, Chael. You know, he is a friend, and we talked, and I let him know what I was going to do, and he was the only one calling it like I was calling it. So it was nice to know that, you know, I was able to back up what I said I was going to do, and, of course, to have a great, like, Chael on my side.
Juliana, you mentioned that you're from the Pacific Northwest, from Spokane, Washington, right?
Yes, sir.
How does somebody get into MMA? I mean, soccer, softball, volleyball. How do you wind up getting into MMA as a young lady?
You know, it wasn't something that I was seeking. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, I can't wait to be a UFC fighter or having these big dreams of being a UFC fighter. It was me walking into a gym that I was basically dragged there by my sister, and I only went because I needed to lose some weight, you know, and she was there to check out a boy and I was there to lose some weight. So, you know, it ended up working out for me, but it wasn't something that I was actively seeking. It just kind of found me, and it fit perfectly with me and my personality and who I am as a person, just because I've been beat up my whole life. My brother beat the holy living crap out of me. He made it so difficult for me to do anything. You know, he was always holding me down, telling me, no, you're too little to do this. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. But then there were times where he'd be like, well, get me a glass of water. And I wasn't too little to do that. I wasn't too little to, you know, be a little errand girl. And so that feeling of, you know, somebody always trying to tell you that you can't do something is kind of where this fighting personality comes out in me, as well as, you know, just family history and, you know, my mom always being stepped on and not being able to fight for herself, you know. So I think that growing up in a family like that, and I'm not knocking my brother by any means. Every brother is hard and rough with their siblings. But that kind of upbringing is what I think was living inside of me. And it wasn't until that I walked into that woman's cardio kickboxing class to lose weight that I said, hey, this is what I should have been doing a long time ago. This is my niche. This is my thing. And this is absolutely perfect for me. And I fell in love with the sport, and the rest is history.
Juliana Pena, the UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion, joining us here on Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN here in Los Angeles. So when did you know? Because one thing is, okay, you fell in love with it. You were doing this class with your sister. But when did you know that you could probably make a profession out of this?
You know, I still didn't know. I took my first fight, and it was in a bowling alley, and I swung for the fences for three rounds like that girl had owed me her lunch money for 10 years. Like, every pent-up aggression that I have ever had in my life, I took it out on that poor girl, and I was like, wow. And I won a 3XL Zion t-shirt. So I was literally like, what are you doing with your life? There was many times where I tried to quit the sport, many times where I was like, you know, this is very hard. This is very difficult. But my coach was the one person who stayed in my corner, who literally told me, you're very good at this. Women's fighting is rare. You can make a career out of this. And one day Dana White's going to allow women into the UFC if you just stick with it. So, you know, if it wasn't for my coach believing in me more than I had believed in myself, I probably would still be serving tables or, you know, I don't know, being a lawyer or something like that. But I definitely, there was trials and tribulations where I was ready to walk away from the sport, and I think that having that guidance and having that mentor from my coach and just continuing to care about me is what truly kept me in the sport and what helped drive my passion. Once I started to get the hang of it, once I got better, I started to fall in love with it more and more. But in the beginning, it was rough.
Juliana, I'm curious, you know, a cardio kickboxing class is nice. Hey, I'm going to lose a couple of pounds, but the first time you get punched in the face, what's that like?
Well, I feel like everyone has that big stigma, right? They're like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine getting punched in the face. But when you're fighting, it's such a primal instinct thing. Your adrenaline is going so high, you do not even feel it, honestly. At the time, you're just all systems are running. The next day, yeah, you feel like you kind of got ran over by a Mack truck, but not when you're fighting. When you're fighting, you don't even feel it, honestly.
Wow.
Amanda, anyway. Let me, excuse me, when Amanda now says that, I mean, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she basically feels like, you know, she gave you credit there that night, but it feels like, you know, as the fight, the next fight has been building, she's kind of been discrediting you a little bit. How do you take that?
It's really annoying, and that's what's so frustrating about this whole thing, you know. Amanda was very graceful in defeat. But she hasn't accepted it. You know, the belt speaks for itself. It's with me. I brought it home that night, and I'm going to bring it home the next time that we fight as well. But she won't accept it. She thinks that it was a fluke. She thinks that, you know, she wasn't training properly, or she wasn't healthy, or her knees hurt, or this, that, and the other. You know, she's got excuses coming out of the woodwork. You know, she just can't accept it. And so that is my job, to make her go accept it for the second time and to solidify in her mind, girl, you're done. It's time to retire. You're done. It's my time now.
So when is this fight going to go down? Because I know that that night you said, hey, I'll give you the rematch. Obviously, you've earned a chance to get your belt back. But I haven't been able to find when this thing is going to go down. Do we have a date yet?
I do. I just can't say, but I would anticipate sometime in this summer. I'll tell you that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Come on. Tell me. Tell me when.
Now, let me ask you this. How do you feel about Ronda Rousey? Because, you know, obviously she treated you somewhat poorly, I feel like, on the Ultimate Fighter show. And you know, with you coming on that show, like, does that stuff stick in your craw? And what are your, I guess, feelings about Ronda?
You know, I think that Ronda shattered many glass ceilings for us as women in opening up these doors into the UFC. I want to thank her. I absolutely would like to thank her for doing that, because if it wasn't for Ronda and opening up those doors, there would be no me as a champion. Ronda was in the past. I'm the now. And I think that by her mistreating me, by her telling me I didn't deserve to breathe the same air as another girl, by her telling me that she was going to kick my ass, has fueled why I want to fight her. If she ever decides to come back from her UFC retirement, I would welcome her with open arms. It would be sad to have to beat her, but it would also be a great honor.
Juliana, I got one more thing for you. I can hear background. You mentioned that you're in New York, that it's 7:30 there, now 7:40. I'm curious, what are you doing on a Tuesday evening in New York running around? Sounds like you got some commotion going on behind you. What's cooking in your life?
Yeah, so I have been here for the last 2 days. I did Good Morning America. I've done Sports Illustrated, ESPN. I've been just so busy trying to promote this new season of The Ultimate Fighter. I've had two jam-packed days of just press literally all day long from 6:15 a.m. Till now, 7:30. And I am just here to promote the show. Tomorrow I'll get back on my flight and it'll be right back to business. But yeah, it's dinner time for me. I'm hungry. I earned it. I've been working hard.
I understand, girl. You need to get some food.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got two more quick ones for you. Is that cool before you go and get some food?
Yeah. Hey, I got all the time in the world. No worries. No rush.
Okay. All right. I got another person who's talking smack about you, and she's not even in the UFC, is Kayla Harrison, saying that, you know, people talking about you eventually fighting her if you guys were in the same promotion. And she said, quote, you're going to get her really hurt, seriously hurt. What do you have to say about Kayla?
Who?
That's perfect. That's it. Yeah. Kayla Harrison.
Listen, I'm the champion. She's a nobody. She's not even worth discussing. She's not on my level.
Right,
and
I felt
the
same way.
She had the opportunity to come, and she didn't. So just it's just somebody trying to get attention, and I'm not going to give it to her.
Okay, fair enough. And then the last thing, where is the wildest place you've ever gotten into a real fight that's not been in a ring or an octagon or a sanctioned fight?
You're not going to like this very much because it's honestly very sad, but I got in a fist fight with a coworker of mine in the back of an alley, and I got my eye swollen shut for 11 days and three – or no, excuse me. I got my eye swollen shut for 3 days and 11 stitches in my eye. And so, yes, it was in the back alley in Spokane, Washington.
Was it against a girl?
Nope, it was against a over 6 foot tall man. He clearly had mental issues, and so did I, to agree to go out there and fight him.
Oh, my God.
Where were you working at the time?
I don't even want to give the place any credit because I'll never go there again. I actually
No. You don't have to name the place. Like, what kind of place was it?
Oh, it was a restaurant. I was a food expediter. Like, when the food comes up, I get it ready for the tables, and he was my fry cook. And so, you know, previously I had been his boss at a different place, and when I started that job and I saw him as my fry cook, I was like, no, please not this kid, you know, because I was his boss before at the other place that we worked together. And so it was just a breeding ground for trouble, and we had finally been at each other's throats for so long that I was like, let's go right now. I thought, I'm a trained fighter. I'm going to kick this kid's butt, and I'm literally going to submit him. I didn't take into consideration, you know, number one, he's a man. Number two, his length. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to throw any cheap shots. I'm not going to kick him in the nads, nothing like that, because I'm a skilled fighter and I can beat him on my skill. But looking back, I should have just, like, picked up a brick and just hit him in the nuts as hard as possible and said, go F yourself, and walked away. But, you know, me being stubborn and needing to, you know, hit my head up against the brick wall a few times is definitely the reason why that happened. So
wow.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Great. Wow. Great story. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a great storyteller. You know, look, she's an inspiration on a multiple levels, as you've heard her story. You know, she's a mom. You're so many reasons to be inspired by your story, Juliana. I wish we had more time, but we want you to get some to eat. Thank you for calling us and making time for us. Check out The Ultimate Fighter 30 on ESPN Plus with Juliana and Amanda as the coaches. And, of course, look out for that fight. It'll be announced soon. So thank you, Juliana. Appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you, guys. You guys have a great night. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Take care.
Hey, there Lindsay, that story must have rung a bell, huh? I mean, because the way she...
girls, we know what's up. Maybe I should follow in her footsteps and, like, pursue a career in the UFC.
I mean, George, I love the question. Tell us about a street fight. But then when she tells us she gets punched and she takes 11 stitches to the eye, you got to be thinking to yourself, are you fighting another girl? Like, a regular girl fought you and did it? And then we find out she fought some giant dude.
Yeah, I kind of knew the story a little bit, so that's where I was leading her. So I'm glad you asked that follow-up, because I was going to as well. So.
See how clearly I was listening?
Yeah. I mean, that time, finally. All right, thanks to Juliana for joining us there. If you missed that, you know what? We'll run that back maybe in the last hour of the show sometime for people who missed that later. So, all right, real quick, though, I mentioned we were talking about the Lakers bringing back something from the past. We'll tell you what that is in 2 minutes.
Ah! Bank do but they don't. Ha! Nimmin in America.
What did you just say?
Wow! I'm out of my own. And bank do but it all. Ha! That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Bop, 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 bop. I live in America. Yeah.
Is that where you get your
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it is deep rooted. And some James Brown.
It's possible.
That was fun with Juliana Pena, wasn't it?
She was great. We should definitely run that back in the last segment today.
You know, it's funny. When I was getting ready today and I was watching some replays of that fight with Juliana and Amanda, I was like, I looked at the date on the calendar as to what day it was. I think it was December 11th of last year. And I remember being at a friend's house and having no knowledge going into the fight of who Juliana Pena was. Mm-hmm. And like... everybody said she got no chance against Amanda Nunes. And
none, yeah.
And the way she won that fight and the story that she just told us that, you know, it's kind of part of who she is. Really inspirational story and huge, unbelievable upset. And, man, what a great personality she has. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. She's great. She's a star, and I think she's going to be a bigger star when she wins the next fight. So,
the Venezuelan Vixen. Is what they call
half Venezuelan, half Mexican. Yep.
The Venezuelan Vixen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how I might say that if I were doing the ring announcing. You know, in this corner at 5'7", 135 pounds, the reigning and defending bantamweight champion of the world, the Venezuelan Vixen, Juliana Pena.
Well, see, you nailed the end. That's what he would do at the end, Buffer. But the whole lead up to that, like, you were way too tame for Buffer.
Too tame? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, Michael Buffer.
No, not Michael.
Oh, because Michael Buffer destroys Bruce Buffer. Bruce Buffer destroys Michael Buffer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Bruce is the one that does the UFC.
When they have UFC fights and he's doing the ring announcing and they're showing the fighter, I'm screaming at my TV.
Fighting out of the red corner.
Right. Show Buffer. Don't take the camera off the guy. He's great TV.
Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, you could take the camera off. You're literally going to tell the UFC people how to direct their own product?
Just telling them that Bruce Buffer is really, really exciting, the way he sounds and the way he freaks out. And if you keep him on camera, I mean, it's good TV. That's all.
Yeah. You know what's good for content is the Lakers. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what Woj said today on NBA Today?
I did hear about this. Go ahead.
So he was talking about the Lakers coaching search, and he said, this is very much a committee in L.A. putting together this coaching search. One person who's certainly significantly involved in the process is Phil Jackson. He's got a voice in this. He did the last time when they hired Frank Vogel. He and Kurt Rambis had been somebody that they considered with the Knicks before hiring Derek Fisher in New York. So I think Phil's voice is here. Darvin Ham. What we mentioned was with Charlotte. He's going to interview with them. He's interviewing also with the Lakers. They're moving deliberately, not doing 7, 8, or 9 candidates all at once. They're kind of going down the list here, taking their time with it, because. But I think that's the process, and it's going to take a bit. So Do you like Phil Jackson being part of this?
Big time. Love it.
Why?
Well, let's take Phil out for one quick second and let's analyze.
Yeah.
If Phil Jackson's not in the room, here's who we think is in the room. Jeannie Buss.
Yeah.
Rob Pelinka.
Right.
Kurt Rambis.
Yeah.
Linda Rambis.
Right.
And maybe there's some fifth somewhere because you can't have an even number.
Right.
Well, if you're going to tell me that Jeannie Buss had a long-standing, both professional and personal relationship with Phil Jackson, and she trusts him as a basketball man, as maybe the greatest coach that the NBA has ever known, then why would you not take advantage of that resource when it's available to you?
Yeah. Now, look, I am a big believer in there should be a lot of voices in the room, right? Remember I told you that?
Mm-hmm.
When making the decision. But I don't know if there should be a lot of people like, let me ask you a question. When you've done an interview, do you think that it's always best to do, like, let's say you're meeting with a lot of people, right? Like, let's say there's an organization. I always think it's best to meet with people individually, even if it's like four or five different people. Like, when I got hired at ESPN, I met with a bunch of different people, right? But I met with all of them one-on-one. And I'm curious as to how they are performing these interviews. Are all these people in the room at the same time and all just kind of firing away questions? Is this stuff being taken place on like Zoom? Like are they flying to these people? Like what is happening here? Like I am curious about the details because I do think those little things matter when you're having these conversations.
My guess would be that right now, anybody that the Lakers brass, I think we've just named the five people who you might consider the brass because now you throw Phil Jackson into it. These five people are probably not all getting on a private jet and going and visiting somebody who may be an assistant coach.
Why shouldn't they, is my question.
Oh, I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I'm just saying that I don't think they are. My guess would be that in 2022, where the whole world, literally everybody, has learned to work remotely, it wouldn't surprise me if Phil is on his ranch somewhere in Montana and Jeannie's in her office over at Crypto and, you know.
No, the office is in El Segundo.
Well, whatever. You understand what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The point is that everybody could be in a different spot and they could have a coach or a candidate on a Zoom call, and it's a preliminary, let's just sort of get to know you kind of conversation. But I will say this. I think you're getting at is, why would you do it five-on-one rather than one-on-one? And then
right.
Everybody can compare
notes. I think
that's
a better way to handle that. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, when you're the one, and then there's five on a screen.
And I don't know if that's the case or not. I'm just curious as to how they're handling it.
Just, I always feel like two-on-one is good. Three-on-one is getting a little overwhelming. Anything more than three-on-one, I feel like whoever the one is being pounded on.
Yeah, and I just don't know if you're actually going to get the best interview in that setting if that's the way it's going down.
I wonder if these are job interviews or if they're just kind of, hey, we've heard about you, we know who you are, we know you a little bit, I just want everybody else to meet you and let's just get things started. I mean, I wonder if these are,
well,
like,
I'm guessing there's multiple rounds to this. Yeah,
right.
But let me ask you a question. You just mentioned Phil Jackson's accolades.
Yeah.
and certainly being trustworthy, but when I said smart people in the room, one of the things I mentioned, like, the more smart people the better, I did mention, like, why not somebody who isn't part of the quote-unquote family? Like, hire someone who has real front office experience and maybe, I mean, not maybe, but preferably a successful track record in a front office and add them to the mix. Like, that to me is the ultimate thing. Not the status quo or reaching back into the past for Phil, although I don't think having Phil is a bad thing necessarily, so don't misconstrue that. But, you know, it's not like Phil's tenure as an executive was great either.
Well, his tenure as an executive with the Knicks, is that what you're getting at?
No, as an actual executive, not like a coach. Yes. No,
right.
He only was an executive with the Knicks.
Right. So, but I mean, come on. The Knicks are just a disaster organization. And Phil, like so many others, would think, because he's had so much success, like, once I go there, I can fix all this, no problem. That's how guys like Phil Jackson think. That's how guys
right,
like Bill Belichick think.
But it still was a failure. Would you not agree?
I would 100% agree it was a failure. Yeah. But the point is that Phil Jackson has had so much success.
Oh, listen,
in the
Phil
NBA.
Jackson deserves to be in that room more than anyone, I would say, arguably. You know what I mean? Outside of the owner and the current president, you know?
Well, certainly more than Kurt and his wife. I mean, and that's just, and that's no knock at those guys. That just happens to be the way the perception is, that Kurt kind of was the guy that was looking over Frank's shoulder, and we're not really sure how the best friend is a consultant to the franchise. I mean, it could be all business. Listen, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying that Phil Jackson is a guy that if you have access to him and he's
no,
willing to help
you. No, you should utilize
him.
I'm not
absolutely.
Disputing that. But again, I wish they would just for once go outside of this inner circle of people who are related to them in some way, shape, or form. Like, I get that it's a small shop. I get it's a family business. But, you know, like, and you can, well, if the pushback is going to be, well, we did that with, the you know, LeBron and Clutch, and look where that got us. Well, I mean, it did get you a championship, so let's not remove that out of the equation. But, like, I just feel like they need an infusion of someone from the outside. Let's keep this going on the other side, Cap, because I think there's more here to unfold when it comes to this Lakers conversation about the coaching search and who's involved and who's not. Let's get to that in 2.5 minutes.